Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. Today's date is Monday, September 28th, 2015, and I'm your host, Rob Dew. Here's a look at what we have coming up.
Tonight, Pope Francis says that Jesus Christ failed on the cross.
We are followers of Jesus Christ. And his life, humanly speaking, ended in failure. The failure of the cross.
Plus, a look back at the Pope's visit to America as federal authorities are calling it the largest security operation in U.S. history. And a high school in Texas wants students to fill out a gun survey. Does your family own any guns? If so, how many? And what are your parents' political views? Answer, none ya. All that plus much more up next on the InfoWars Nightly News.
Another conspiracy theory.
And it's that type of behavior that spurred me to do the research to develop a true nutraceutical formula that was designed to smooth out and help children focus. All of our children are hit with modern mind control. Television, music, fast food, GMOs, sugars, you name it. Young humans have not yet developed their nervous system and are being hammered daily by globalist concoctions. It's no wonder they can't focus and calm down and then are put on dangerous psychotropic drugs. Working with my team, we set out to find the best formula with the highest quality ingredients that children would actually like and take. We worked with the leading manufacturer in nutritional supplements that are safe for children to bring you the most affordable and powerful calming formula out there. Introducing Child Ease with herbs and calming extracts like chamomile and lemon balm and essential nutrients that taste great. Obtain your Child Ease today at InfoWarsLife.com. That's Child Ease exclusively at InfoWarsLife.com.
Jakari Jackson for InfoWars.com reporting in Philadelphia. This is the last day of the Pope's visit. Now, since he's been here, he's said and done a lot of things. But the thing that stuck out to me the most is something he said during, I guess it was a mass, where he came out and said that the life of Jesus ultimately ended in failure, in the failure on the cross. I have the transcript here. This is reported by ABC News, and it says in part, "The cross shows us a different way of measuring success. Ours is to plant the seed. God sees the fruit of our labors, and if at times our efforts and work seem to fail and not produce fruit, we need to remember that we are followers of Jesus Christ, and his life, humanly speaking, ended in failure, the failure of the cross." Then he went on to talk about the dangers of being comfortable with surroundings and things such as that, which is a whole nother topic in and of itself. But he says the failure of Jesus, the failure of the cross, even though the Bible clearly states that Jesus knew what was going to happen to him, far as the cross was concerned, how he is going to lay his life down. He even said, "Lord, if it is your will, take this bitter cup from me, but not your will, but not my will, your will be done." And particularly we know this when we look at John 17 and 18. "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I laid my life down that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down myself," which is to say, nobody took his life from him on the cross. He laid it down willingly. He knew what was going to happen to him. So to say that his life in general, the cross in particular, was a failure is something I'm very disappointed to see from a supposed spiritual leader. And there are many other things I could talk about as far as the Pope, but this is something, a glaring thing that stuck out to me. So anybody who claims to be a follower of Christ, I'm surprised if they're not as shocked and appalled by this as I am. I found it to be very disturbing and a very sour note to have while he was here in the United States of America. You can find more reports on InfoWars.com.
And joining me to talk about the Pope's statement that he made about Jesus on the cross, plus a couple other interesting statements he made, and the major security apparatus that went on during his three-city visit is InfoWars reporter Jakari Jackson. So, Jakari, I know you're probably all poped out at this point.
I am poped out.
I understand that. But we're going to get into it one more time. Hopefully this will be the last time we talk about it until his next papal security visit. But in your own words, what did him saying Jesus was a failure on the cross, what did that mean to you?
Well, I mean, if you read the whole quote, and a lot of people saying, you know, it's being taken out of context. And originally I waited a couple days because David told me about this when it first happened. But I wanted to wait because it had to be translated. I wanted to see if anybody was debunking it or, you know, had a different translation. But it stuck with the quote I had in the ABC article, which many people can find anyplace else. And he was saying that Jesus' life, by human standards, would be considered a failure. And I strongly disagree with that. The cross is, you know, the ultimate symbol of Christianity. And as I was saying on the Day Show, people wear crosses around their necks. They don't wear Pope mobiles. So, you know, it's a major statement to say that the life of Jesus was a failure, especially when it comes to the cross. So I definitely disagree with the Pope's statement on that.
Right. And then on top of that, he goes to the UN and he makes this weird statement. We had a caller call in today on the Alex Jones Show. We're going to go to that clip in 1 second. And I just think it was just amazing the way he invoked his own name and didn't say he was coming in the name of the Father. Let's go to that clip now.
Hey, Alex and Leo, check this out. When the Pope spoke before the United Nations, he says, I come in my own name and in the name of the Catholic community. Well, check out John 5:43. I am come in my Father's name and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive.
Exactly. He's like following stuff I've read in like serious, you know, FBI criminology reports about Satanism. What the real Satanists do is they blaspheme and change everything that's key in the Bible. So he says, Christ failed at the cross. The cross is a failure.
The Secretary General of the United Nations has invited the Pope to address this distinguished assembly of nations.
In my
own name and that of the entire Catholic community.
Repeat that again.
Yes, the very first remarks out of his mouth, the translator will say it. I flipped out, Alex. He says, I come to you in my own name, in the name of the Catholic community. He did not come in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I never saw him do the sign of the cross while he was here, any of that stuff. This guy is an imposter.
Here it is. Thank you for your kind words once again, following a tradition which I feel honored, the Secretary General of the United Nations, the Pope, to address the Distinguished Assembly of Nations in my own name and that of the entire Catholic community. Wow, so he said in my name, not in Christ's name.
I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive.
The Secretary General, of the United Nations has invited the Pope to address this distinguished assembly of nations.
In my
own name and that of the entire Catholic community.
So there he said it, in my own name and in the entire Catholic community. That's who he's coming in the name of. He's not saying he's coming in the name of God or the Father or Jesus Christ or the Holy Spirit. He's just keeping it to himself. He's personalizing it.
Yeah, he made it very much personal. And that's another thing. You know, I don't really keep up with the things the Pope says and does, you know, before this visit. But if he makes statements like that all the time, I'm very concerned for the Catholic Church because, you know, it's just one thing to say, you know, I did this and I'm great and I'm awesome. But when you go up there in front of a congregation and you're trying to say that you're coming, it's a very, in my opinion, deliberate thing because it's very much in the Bible. As the caller pointed out, you're supposed to come in the name of God. But he's saying, I'm coming in my own name and in the name of the Catholic Church. And I think there's something very wrong with that statement.
It happened to be during an interview with Leo Zagami, who's been very critical of the Pope and the Vatican recently about what's going on there. And if you haven't watched his interview, I encourage you out there to check that out. We'll put a link to that in the description here on YouTube. But now I want to get to all the security that went on because to me,
security theater.
Exactly. Security theater. This was just a big exercise for Homeland Security to stretch its muscles and basically go, we're going to take over 3 cities in 5 days and see if we can do it and see if people are going to complain and see if people will comply. I think it was a big exercise in compliance that we have to do this for the Pope. Everybody kneel down. We're going to tell restaurants they're going to make a lot of money. They're not going to make any money.
No.
It's going to be really bad. But let's start with D.C. So here we have in the Washington Times, Pope brings security and traffic challenges to D.C., but officials say they're ready. They're used to this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They had multiple layers of screening, including magnometers, bag searches at all venues. And so that was part of what was going on in D.C. Another challenge will be the motorcade during which Pope Francis desired to interact with people along the route while keeping him safe. Now, what did we see there? We saw Pope Kid run out to there with a T-shirt and a letter Nobody stopped her. His head of security actually lifts her up, who is a general in the Knights of Malta. So this obviously wasn't anything they were too particularly concerned about in terms of having people interact with the Pope, but you have all this security theater around to basically push everybody around.
And, you know, as we reference, you know, I was out there, I got my footage. You know, it's very difficult to get close to the Pope. I can say that from my own personal account, it's very difficult to get
unless your parents
near
are illegal aliens, and it's easy.
So, you know, basically, like it came out in the AP, you know, people reporting on it now.
Right there.
That, you know, basically this kid was coached and allowed to go into the vicinity of the Pope. And
it has been planned for a year.
Yeah.
And nobody knew about it. You know, that's
they're trying to make it seem like it was, you know, some
it was a spontaneous.
It was a spontaneous spur of the moment, you know, great, you know, family moment. You know, it's it wasn't exactly that.
Right. Now, and continuing here, they're saying that his in a rare designation, Jay Johnson designated Pope Francis' stop in each city a national special security event, a rare designation to streamline the federal response that has previously been used for presidential inaugurations, State of the Union addresses, political conventions, NATO summits, the 2002 Winter Olympics, and the Super Bowl in 2002, which I'm not sure where that one was, but that was right after 9/11, so that would have been probably a big deal in there. And just they're talking about 90 staff members from 50 agencies that are monitoring communications from around the clock, probably something they're doing anyway. They're just admitting that they're doing it there. They have Secret Service protective teams, including counter-snipers, counter-assault agents. They've used replicas of the Popemobile. And then they talk about the national security going into the city of Philadelphia where they're shutting down bridges. Mm-hmm. And they're calling it unprecedented. Even visits by presidents didn't receive this much security. And they only allow $4.5 million to handle all this security for per year. Mm-hmm. That's what the federal government allows. I'm sure they went way over that.
I mean, I don't know all the facts and figures, but when you look at all the barricades, all the MRAPs, all the overtime for the local police, of course, the feds are there, National Guard is there. I'm sure that was a very huge bill. And even the street cleanup, you know, David took some shots, you know, after it was all said and done, the street crews had to come work overtime to clean up all the mess. So
Pope detritus.
Yeah, so I'm sure it was well over whatever their allotted budget was.
Well, and even Dan Bongino, who we've had as a guest on here, ex-Secret Service, he weighed in on a local WBLTV Channel 11 article. The Pope security situation, to use a military analogy, would be DEFCON 1, said Dan Bongino, former Secret Service agent and security expert. It's the most serious security situation we can have in the United States regarding personal protection. In my experience as a Secret Service agent, I've never seen another operation as detailed as the Pope, including the President of the United States.
I agree with that, because what we saw in Philadelphia, and we'll go back to New York and some of these other cities, but when we look at Philadelphia, where there is no United Nations, there was no Obama, the Pope had more security in Philadelphia than he had in D.C. or New York.
Right.
So it was a huge show of force, you know, huge security theater out there.
And the NYPD ramps up security ahead of Pope's visit. They get into a little more, you know, 40 miles of traditional motorcade fencing, 8-foot high security fences, 800 tons of concrete barriers, more another 8-foot mile long fence in Central Park. I mean, they really went overboard. But then here's another one out of the Post, New York Post. Armed ex-firefighter breached JFK security in a bid to see the Pope. And here's a guy carrying a foot-long hunting knife.
Mm-hmm.
Ex-firefighter flashed his badge, used Jedi mind tricks to get through all the security because he understands how this is. And that's how usually these things would be. They'd be an inside job.
Yeah.
Said he wanted to see Pope Francis and change the world. And he got all the way into a motorcade. He happened to get in the wrong motorcade. He got into I think it was with the motorcade from the guy from Turkmenistan. So he got in the wrong motorcade. Luckily, he didn't get to change the world and cause an incident. But here we see it's going to be somebody on the inside who can get past. They know what the security's like, and they can move around freely.
Oh, yeah. All you have to do is watch these guys. And we saw several points where, you know, if you had something as simple as, you know, a rented costume, a police costume or a plastic badge, whatever, you know, these guys is coming. They flash their lights, you know, had some unmarked cars, you know, flash the lights they got to drive right into the areas. So, yes, I definitely can believe that happened.
And then you get to Philly. You guys land there on train, I guess.
Oh, you take the
train.
Yeah.
You arrive by train. You get there. They don't let you hail a cab or anything. There's nobody there. You have to walk. I guess what should have been a 40-minute walk turned into a two-and-a-half-hour walk because of all the stuff. You talked about the story about the cops driving on the sidewalk with the golf cart, which is illegal anywhere else. But I guess if you're a cop, it's okay.
Yeah.
But USA Today called the city's draconian security measures. They called it draconian. They closed bridges to New Jersey. They created massive
USA
traffic boxes.
Today said that?
Yeah.
Wow.
They shut down streets, towed cars, restricted public transit, mm-hmm. public offices closed for days. Major overreaction. And then you've got restaurant owners spending, one guy spent $7,500 on food that he couldn't sell.
Yep.
And another smoothie shop was down 50%. So, and that's just a small sampling of what was said.
Oh, well, I mean, when you go to Philly, more than any other city, because, you know, Times Square was still alive and well. People were going in and out, buying food, same thing mm-hmm. in Washington, D.C. But when you go to Philly, you have these miles of barricades, whether they're the concrete barricades or the metal fencing going all the way around. Businesses were open. You know, a lot of them
people
chose,
couldn't get to them.
Yeah, a lot of them chose to shut down because they recognized nobody's coming. But even when you had all these seas of people coming down the street, people would keep walking, but like, oh, they must be close anyway because the Pope is here. So yeah, just like I can understand this guy trying to be prepared for that, but you know, he had no way to have people get to his facility. Just like David and myself, we found it very difficult to navigate in the city. At one point, just to get to the street where our hotel was, we had to wear a wristband. We had to have permission to go back in the area where our hotel was.
Major security overkill, Homeland Security exercise, I think. It's just totally ridiculous. Thanks for going out there covering the Pope. I mean, I know it wasn't the easiest thing to do, but, you know, you and David Knight got in the trenches, and you definitely deserve kudos. And I think we uncovered a lot. We uncovered a lot of the Pope's agenda. And, you know, anything else you want to say on that?
Well, I just want people to realize that, you know, this is, you know, somebody coming from a foreign country, and I'm not knocking him because he's Catholic or anything like that. But we have President Obama in Washington, D.C., as I said before, you got the UN, all these other world leaders in New York. But for one guy, they shut down a city. Like I said, it was worse than D.C. It was worse than New York. It was completely ridiculous. It didn't have the financial benefits that actually had a very crippling effect. The only people who made a payday was the military-industrial complex.
And those working overtime.
Yes.
Definitely, definitely. All right, well, we'll be back with more on the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm going to have Joe Biggs in studio as well to break down what's going on with these new gun surveys that they're sending out to people up in North Austin. Stay tuned.
All right, we're going to cut this segment short because I understand we have an urgent phone call right now from Admiral Akbar of the Rebel Alliance. Admiral, thanks for joining us. You know, we were just talking about the internet kill switch, and Barack Obama, you know, he just said that he thinks we should hand power of the internet over to the federal government. I think that sounds like a scary thought. And Obama says it will be used fairly and distributed equally. What do you say to that?
It's a trap.
What happened? Did we lose him?
Brain Force is here. Ladies and gentlemen, I've been on this the last few months. You probably noticed I've been more crazed, more focused. Less brain fog, more energy, more special reports, and it's because of Brain Force.
One of the worst things with most energy products is it's not sustainable, right? You're going to crash and going to feel really bad afterwards. This has a bunch of different antioxidants and compounds and polyphenols.
Everybody's on these drugs to knock their brain out because the brain's so fried.
We kept changing this formula over and over and over again until it became sort of a grand puzzle. For example, the L-theanine inside of it, that is activated by the different compounds in the yerba mate that we put inside of it as well. This just increases the compounds you already have.
This is what you're actually designed to run on.
Exactly.
It's kind of like a car will run on one form of junkie gas, but it runs really good on what it's designed for.
You will find Brain Force, Survival Shield X2, and other game-changing products at InfoWarsLife.com or call 888-253-3139. And it's that type of behavior that spurred me to do the research to develop a true nutraceutical formula that was designed to smooth out and help children focus. All of our children are hit with modern mind control. Television, music, fast food, GMOs, sugars, you name it. Young humans have not yet developed their nervous system and are being hammered daily by globalist concoctions. It's no wonder they can't focus and calm down and then are put on dangerous psychotropic drugs. Working with my team, we set out to find the best formula
formula with the highest quality ingredients that children would actually like and take. We worked with the leading manufacturer in nutritional supplements that are safe for children to bring you the most affordable and powerful calming formula out there. Introducing Child Ease with herbs and calming extracts like chamomile and lemon balm and essential nutrients that taste great. Obtain your Child Ease today at InfoWarsLife.com. That's Child Ease exclusively at InfoWarsLife.com. Knockout is back. If you want a product that has 10 known ingredients that naturally get your body to relax, your brain to relax, so you get deep, restful sleep, Knockout's it. InfoWarsLife.com. L-theanine, hops flower extract, lemon balm extract, valerian root extract, chamomile flower extract, L-tryptophan extract, melatonin, and more. All organic, all the natural sources. It's the same price as leading brands of melatonin that are 3 milligrams apiece. It has 3 milligram, the standard recommended dose for an adult. It's got the GABA. So it would probably cost $50 to take all this as separate pills. It's $19.95. You take one or two of these, and it just is really clean, restful sleep is what the reviews are. It's what I've experienced. And it just synergistically puts everything in there. InfoWarsLife.com. That's InfoWarsLife.com. Or call 888-253-3139.
Is a protest, and this is a riot. If you can't tell the difference, then you are part of the problem. InfoWars.com.
I have a dream.
One more item on the Pope before we move on, and this has to do with sexual abuse in, religion, organized religion. Anyway, this is out of the Huffington Post. Pope Francis meets with survivors of sexual abuse. Pope Francis met with 5 survivors of sexual abuse in Philadelphia on Sunday morning. It was the last day of his trip, incidentally enough. 3 female and 2 male survivors of abuse by clergy, teachers, or relatives were part of a meeting, each accompanied by a family member or supporter. God weeps for sexual abuse of children, Francis said during the speech. These cannot be maintained in secret. I commit to a careful oversight to ensure that youth are protected and that all are responsible will be held accountable. Now, and interestingly enough, while I was interviewing Leo Zagami, he was talking about how at the train station in Rome, they had fake ambulances set up there, and they were actually taking Romanian orphan kids that they were finding at the train station. I guess they hang out there and pick pockets or do whatever. They were taking these kids, putting them in these ambulances, and driving them into Vatican City for late-night parties with priests. So he needs to start at the Vatican. That is where the sexual abuse investigation needs to go, Mr. Pope, sir. Moving on to a Daily Mail article. Former House Speaker Dennis Hastert negotiating a guilty plea over charges he paid $3.5 million in hush money to cover up sexual contact with the male. That's right. It doesn't just happen in the clergy or in organized religion or in churches. It also happens within our own government, and we've detailed this exhaustively at InfoWars.com. But here it is with Dennis Hastert, former Republican speaker, who was the longest serving Republican speaker, Speaker of the House in history. A May indictment says Hastert agreed to pay $3.5 million to someone identified only as Individual A to hide past misconduct. It has been claimed that Individual A is a victim of sexual abuse that Hastert was attempting to silence. It is believed that the individual is linked to his days as a high school teacher. That's right, he taught wrestling and I believe was a teacher at a high school for a number of years. Another possible victim has emerged. The sister of a student at Yorkville High School told ABC News that in June that Hastert had sexually abused her brother, who is now deceased. And Stephen Reinholt was a student equipment manager when Hastert worked at Yorkville High School in Illinois from 1965 to 1981. So There you go. It's always the people that work around children that you need to be most wary of. It was Jerry Sandusky and the Penn State family and that was all covered up. You know, Joe Paterno was probably in on the cover up. We don't know because he ended up dying right after all the allegations came out. But Sandusky is serving jail time. He was caught in the shower with boys. There's allegations that high paying donors were flown in to have sex parties with little boys all at Penn State. That's the stuff we need to worry about. That's the stuff. If the Pope's really serious, we'll see people's heads starting to roll very quickly having to deal with child abuse. Now on to some market news. NASDAQ completes Death Cross Grand Slam. The NASDAQ Composite has produced a Death Cross chart pattern on Monday, joining three other major market indexes which have produced similar bearish chart patterns over the past couple months. A Death Cross appears when a 50-day moving average crosses below the 200-day moving average, an event that many chart watchers view as marking the spot a shorter-term correction morphs into a longer-term downtrend. And if you take a look at MarketWatch, they're reporting the NASDAQ is down 142 points for the day. That's a percentage of 3.04%. Now, at InfoWars, we had a lot of people coming on, a lot of market analysts all talking about how September, October were going to be some really volatile months, and we reported it as that. And then other people came out and said, well, when this super Shemitah happens, it's going to just be decimating. Well, we haven't seen that yet, but we are seeing substantial downturns occurring in the market. So be looking out for that. Now, I want to end tonight's segment here with another Daily Mail article. Witnesses capture video of Virginia cop taking down a man with a stun gun who isn't resisting arrest. Let's go to that video now. And that video comes right on the heels of the FBI making the announcement that they're going to collect more public information about police shootings of civilians. That is definitely some good news. This is information we do need to see out there. Now, coming up, we're going to have an interview with Joe Biggs where we look at a troubling survey that was put out by a local school here in the Austin area. And David Knight has a report about a cab driver in Philadelphia telling us what's wrong with the United States and how to fix it. But first, here's a report from John Bowne about how human rights are down, but beheadings are up.
2015, a banner year for beheadings in Saudi Arabia. According to Amnesty International, beheadings have surpassed 175 at a rate of one every 2 days. Many had hoped that new Saudi King Salman would have diminished the brutality. Instead, he has accelerated it. The Independent reports, the kingdom killed 102 convicted criminals in the first 6 months of 2015 alone, putting it on course to beat its 1995 record number for the calendar year of 192. Those killed included children under the age of 18 at the time of the offense and disabled people. In fact, the numbers have climbed to such a high level, the Saudis have placed a job posting for 8 new executioners. 28% of those that faced the executioner's blade were due to drug offenses, adultery, witchcraft, and of course, sorcery. Many of those executed are not given legal representation and confess to their crimes after breaking under torture. The bodies of the executed are regularly displayed in public squares where the corpse is tied to a bag with the head of the violator inside of it, something the United Nations and Amnesty International have long demanded an end to. 21-year-old Ali Mohammed Bakir al-Nimr faces crucifixion and beheading for attending a demonstration against the Saudi regime when he was just 17 years old. Well then, America and the rest of the representatives of the modern world must be furious with Saudi government for these blatant displays of medieval barbarism. Wrong. Saudi Arabia has been chosen to head an important UN human rights panel, and State Department Deputy Spokesman Mark Toner responded with enthusiasm. Toner said, "We would welcome it. We're close allies." Close allies. According to witness testimony to the classified 28 pages of the 9/11 report.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Saudi government runs ISIS, runs Al-Qaeda. Does that mean that sometimes these groups don't attack Saudi Arabia to demand more goodies and more power and more weapons? Absolutely. But that's the real problem. There it is in the New York Times. Convicted terrorist claims Saudis funded Al-Qaeda and knew a plot to down Air Force One. It's in the 28 pages that Saudi Arabia was running the hijackers and they were in Saudi intelligence. Yeah, but let's go further than that. Under Clinton and Bush, they protected those hijackers when the FBI tried to stop them, when they were training, when people at the flight schools were suspicious. But what about how at least five of the 19 trained at U.S. military bases and were given spy training? The head of the Defense Language School, Colonel Stephen Butler, went public a week after 9/11 in the San Jose Mercury News and said, I don't know what's going on, but we train these guys at our bases. Muhammad Atta was in my class. Something's wrong. Of course. Of course. Do we know exactly what happened? No, but we know that this was allowed to happen, bare minimum. There's ABC News. Still secret. 28 pages that could change our understanding of 9/11. I've been told by the congressman on this show and military intelligence people on this show that have seen it, what it says. Senator Graham, former senator of Florida, 9/11 commission, has said what's in it. We know what's in it.
This ally of ours funded the 9/11 terror attacks and has been dubbed the Great ISIS by Colonel Sharaf Luckman, the official spokesman for the Yemeni armed forces, a region that has experienced exponential war crimes undertaken by Saudi Arabia and supported by the United States. In a related report on British arms sales, Robert Perkins wrote, Yemen is the worst country for civilian deaths and injuries from explosive weapon use in the first 7 months of 2015. The Saudi government has been very elusive with the evidence connecting them to the bankrolling of ISIS. It has officially condemned the Islamic State, along with al-Nusra, the Muslim Brotherhood, Yemen's Houthi rebels, and Saudi Hezbollah. Wealthy Saudi and Qatari citizens, however, continue to fund and support Sunni Wahhabist groups in the Middle East, including ISIS, al-Nusra, Liwa al-Tahid, Arar al-Sham, Jaish al-Islam, and other jihadi fighters in Syria. And none of these wealthy agitators have been beheaded. The Bulletin of the Atomic Scientists notes, a good portion of the funding for the ISIS and similar terror groups such as the al-Qaeda-affiliated al-Nusra comes from Sunni elites located in Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, and the Gulf states, countries that are ostensibly U.S. allies. John Bound for Infowars.com.
And all you ISIS people threatening us, hey, we're not a French newspaper, okay? We got people that have taken your asses out in this building right now. We're armed to the teeth, and we're not scared. You got that, you sons of bitches? This is Texas. You want to threaten me, you can go straight to hell. You understand that?
Never water yourself down just because someone can't handle you at 100 proof. It's the Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
Disapproval for Hillary Clinton? Get your Hillary for Prison 2016 t-shirt today at the InfoWars store. Hurry up, because these things are selling out faster than Hillary Clinton.
This is an American president. Just add puppet, then vote and repeat every 4 years.
Introducing Secret 12, the new InfoWars Life vitamin B12 formulation. Now, InfoWarsLife.com is excited to announce that we can bring you our most bioactive, powerful form of B12 that has been developed with our exclusive perfected process. Secret 12 is a binary of nutraceutical grade, bioavailable coenzyme forms of B12. Secure your revolutionary Secret 12 formula right now at InfoWarsLife.com or call 888-253-3139.
I'm running for president. Everyday Americans need a champion, and I want to be that champion. I'm hitting the road to earn your vote, and I hope you'll join me on this journey.
Alex Jones here to tell you about how you can help spread liberty worldwide while also enjoying what I have found to be the best tasting 100% organic coffee on the planet. For more than a decade, my favorite coffee has come from the high mountains of southern Mexico, where the Chiapas farmers grow their unique shade-grown Arabica beans. We have now managed to secure these sought-after beans in a highly customized blend. Discover and try a bag of the Patriot Blend 100% organic coffee at InfoWarsLife.com. This coffee gives you a long, smooth pick-me-up for hours without the headaches and heartburn that so many other coffees give me personally. Hands down, this is my favorite coffee, and it's taken us years to secure connections directly to the Chiapas Mexican farmers. Drop by the site today, order a bag or two, and I don't think you're going to be disappointed. Available in original or with our immune support infusion blend, you will be supporting a free press, all the while enjoying a truly great-tasting cup of my favorite coffee. Available at InfoWarsLife.com.
Another major health threat, this one in Toledo, Ohio, where everybody in the entire city has been told not to drink the water.
Ohio's governor declaring a state of emergency.
Did you know that the average person uses about 80 to 100 gallons of water at home every single day? If there's a water emergency, will you be prepared?
Panicked residents forming long lines throughout the day.
We're here at a supermarket in Toledo. You can see the shelves empty where water once was.
To stay safe and healthy during a crisis, you must have access to safe, clean water. Water which will not be available at your local grocery store.
There's a mad dash on right now to stock up on supplies.
The ProPure Pro 1 G2.0 water filtration system is a must-have for every modern, independently minded household. Protect your family's safety during an emergency. Go to InfoWarsStore.com today to purchase your ProPure Pro 1 G2.0 water filtration system or call 1-888-253-3139.
I'm not gonna sit here and take it anymore.
David Knight from InfoWars.com. Now we're here in Philadelphia. The Pope is visiting. And this street that you see behind me with all these barriers, this is typical of what they've done to streets throughout the Philadelphia area. Last night, Jakari Jackson and I got in. They had shut down taxi service, so we had to walk. It was would have normally been about a 40-minute walk. It turned into a 2-hour and 15-minute walk because of so many barriers, so many shut roads, so many shut bridges. Now, the Pope is here to lecture us on an economic system. He wants a socialist redistribution system. He says that the free market, that capitalism is broken. Well, I would agree. It hasn't existed in this country for quite some time because our economic system is like this road system. Barriers are erected for you and I, for the common people. The elites have barriers set up to protect them, to keep you down. And then the government works with them, escorts them at your expense, just as this has all been done at the expense of the taxpayer. They set up these protections, escort them through, give them special treatment. Now, a good example of where this is going in the global elitist scheme is Uber. When we were in Washington, D.C., we talked to a taxi driver, and he explained to us how barriers that have been set up for taxis, traditional taxi services, don't exist for Uber. Here's what he had to say.
I get you to repeat that.
Oh, my God.
So you're one day out on your taxi license, and they give you an $1,100 ticket on that.
Yes.
Okay. You've got to get a license up here, okay? They don't have, Uber doesn't have to have that. You pay insurance at a higher rate.
Yeah.
Is that right?
We pay high insurance on our car. For example, if you get a new car right now, we are required to get the least 2008. Look at this car I'm driving now. There's nothing wrong with this car. Mm-hmm. No light showing, no nothing. We go through every 6 months inspection, which means your car must be good to pass inspection every 6 months. Now we are forced, probably because of Uber, to go and get the late model car. For a taxi, you're gonna have a full coverage insurance on that new car that you get for taxi. You're still gonna be paying a taxi insurance that make double insurance that you are paying.
Yeah.
Whereas Uber just get a regular car, a regular person, regular driver's license, no professionalism, and the driving. The playing field are not the same.
You said you have to get background checks by the FBI?
You have to go through background check.
Wow.
You have to go to a drug screening and you have to go to medical physical test every 6 months.
Now, when does this kick in with the 2008 requirement of 2008 vehicle? Is that something that, are they going to grandfather in people who have existing taxis?
No, you just have to junk it. That's your problem.
Wow, when's that going to start? When's that going to start?
It's already started.
Oh.
Well, this car now, by November, this car you are still driving with no noise, quiet.
Yeah.
This car is no use by November.
By November.
They want me to trash this car for no reason.
Wow.
To go and get the latest model's car. Look at the streets. There's no job.
Yeah.
There's no job for taxi driver. Taxi driver now are going looking for a regular job now. Because Uber have taken everything. No taxi. People wait you see everybody on the phone waiting for taxi.
Yeah.
They're waiting for Uber. That's what they're looking for. You see empty taxi passing you by. Yeah. We have, in D.C. alone, we have over 14,000 taxis in D.C. And Uber is unregulated, so they can have up to 100,000 car out there.
Yeah.
So how do you expect the taxi driver to make a living, number one? Majority of us have a wife and children, and we have mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
How do we survive? How do we compete with those people?
Yeah.
Who's the hack inspector we harass the car driver? Your tire is low, your this is there, your car is dirty, your this. But that's not, there's no regulation for Uber.
Mm-hmm.
Either their car is neat or dirty or whatever, no single regulation, no harassment of any kind. As I'm driving you right now, if I park on the side to answer a phone, hack inspector will come there, they can write me a ticket. In fact, if they find any other thing, they will just tow the car.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is the harassment that the taxi driver face every single day.
Yeah.
And they still want us to maintain all this thing, buy new latest model and paying all this. How are we going to pay for this thing? Money has to come out from somewhere.
It's a double standard.
It's a double standard.
Absolutely.
It's a serious double standard, and I believe the elected people are not working with their six senses at all.
Mm-hmm.
They are not. Mm-hmm. Because if they are, they should have thought this thing out very well. Look at the people from New York. Why buying a medallion for $500,000 if anybody can put their car out there and doing the same thing?
Yeah.
Then what is the purpose of medallion?
Yeah, exactly. They've got a much longer term agenda. They want to control transportation, they said.
Now that taxi driver has just explained to you how there are barriers to his business that are not shared by the guy who owns Uber. He believes, however, that this was something that was short-sightedness on the part of the city of Washington. This has been done, however, in every city throughout the world where Uber operates. It is not short-sightedness. It is part of a plan to aid Uber. Why would they do that, you ask? Well, of course, money can change hands behind the scenes, but there's also a larger agenda. Understand that municipalities everywhere have always been looking for a way to control transportation. Number one, that gives them control over you. That helps them, whenever you're dependent on them for a service, that gives them power and control over you. It lets them grow the government. They have tried bus services, subways, light rail. The people don't want them because they want the freedom and independence that having their own vehicle gives them. But Uber has said that he's going to not only get rid of the taxi services, but he's going to get rid of your individual car. The way he's going to do that, of course, is going to make it extremely cheap, but at the same time, the government is going to kick in with taxes. The insurance companies will kick in with increased insurance rates based on monitoring how you drive. But the other part of this is that they also want to control and restrict your movements. Part of what the Pope is talking about is a climate change agenda, and that, of course, dovetails into UN Agenda 21, the agenda for the 21st century. They sell it as sustainability, but it's about concentrating you into a few heavily populated mega urban centers. In order to do that, they have to control your movement. What better way to do that than with robot cars owned by one or two companies like Uber Alles? They'll also have the advantage of knowing everywhere that you go, because all that's necessary for that is that Uber share that information with the government. So that's the perfect storm. The combination of a capitalist who is bent on having a global monopoly, along with governments that want to make you dependent upon them and want to control and monitor your every movement. That's what we see. The Pope says that this is a failure in our society, a failure of the free market, a failure of capitalism. Well, quite frankly, this society hasn't failed nearly as bad as the societies that he holds up as a model, places like Venezuela, countries where they can't even get food and medicine in their own country. That's why they're flooding our country for economic opportunity. Isn't it odd that the Pope would want to impose the kind of socialism and fascism that we've seen in his country of Argentina and in other areas of Latin America on the United States and blame us for economic failure? No, we haven't had a failure free market. We have failed to try to have a free market. For InfoWars.com, I'm David Knight.
Unfortunately, you've grown up hearing voices that incessantly warn of government as nothing more than some separate, sinister entity that's at the root of all our problems.
It's time to stop submitting to this tyranny. It's time to realize that we're being enslaved.
Some of these same voices also do their best to gum up the works. They'll warn that tyranny's always lurking just around the corner.
Tyranny with a capital T.
You should reject these voices.
Everything that's been done with torture, rendition, the NDAA, the Patriot Acts 1 and 2, from day one, was focused on the American people, period. That's it. It's always been about erasing the Bill of Rights and Constitution and rolling out NSA spying publicly, saying it's for Al-Qaeda, rolling out torture, saying it's for Al-Qaeda, but it's really for the general public, rolling out total control and the end of any underground free market systems in the name of fighting Al-Qaeda, but really shutting down any type of free commerce. This is all about converting us from a free society to a tyranny with a capital T. I began to get into iodine a few years ago because it was helping me and my family so much get healthy and detoxify. I believe our research is conclusive. This is the best iodine out there. And I know this for a fact. Nobody else has got iodine based on these pure crystals, ladies and gentlemen.
For a limited time, experience the ancient power of Survival Shield X2.
I believe our research is conclusive. This is the best iodine out there.
Take advantage of this at InfoWarsLife.com.
And why wearing a Hillary for President t-shirt might get you punched in the face.
They thought it said Hillary for President. He said, I was seconds away from sending my bar back over here to punch you in the face. Since you're wearing a Hillary for Prison shirt, you don't have to buy drinks here. Everything's on the house.
Hillary's not surging, I tell you that. They're not saying that. They're not saying that. Thank you.
There you have it. Donald Trump endorses Hillary for Prison. Get your Hillary for Prison 2016 t-shirt at the InfoWars store. And on the back it says, legalize freedom. Show your disapproval of Hillary by buying your t-shirt today.
But what she's done is criminal.
This is an American president. Just add puppet, then vote and repeat every 4 years.
Welcome back to the final segment of the InfoWars Nightly News. Joining me in studio now is Joe Biggs, and we're going to talk about this Kit Daniels article that came out today. School asked students for number of guns, political views held by family. What are your parents' political views? Gun survey asks. Now, there's a lot of things wrong with this, so let's take it from the top, I guess, Joe. What was your first impression when you just heard about this?
Well, story? I saw it Friday before I headed out to go this little event I had to go to this weekend. And Michael Cargill and some of the Texas Lone gun rights guys tagged me in this picture that they had gotten. Someone had sent it in from a school around Pflugerville. And I started reading it and I said, oh my God, there are so many questions in here that they're putting out here for students to very invasive.
This is like a Stasi type thing. When I first saw, just, hey, we want you to turn in your parents, but we're going to disguise it as a survey.
It's a very dangerous survey. They call this the Hawk 2015 gun survey. And, some of the questions it asks, we'll take a look at. It'll say name and grade. You know, that's optional. Does your family own any guns? You check yes or no. You know, that's, yeah, there you go. What is their purpose? You know, for self-defense, hunting, other sports, other, please describe. Other.
Yeah.
But here's the one I think is the most dangerous question out of them all. And because these are for children, have you ever fired a gun? Now, we know in the past that CPS has actually came in and taken kids away from families who legally owned guns before. That has happened. Right. So we know that. So that's one of those dangerous questions in there.
Now, and then it asks in what context, right?
Yeah, in what context are you using it? For hunting, shooting, other, please describe. You know, is your parents, you know, crack addicts who are taking selfies with Glocks or whatever they're doing or what, you know, whatever have you. But it's one of those things that I just find it to be very, very scary.
It's pretty disconcerting. I wonder who came up with this. I guess the Hawk is their mascot up in Pflugerville. Pflugerville is just north of Austin. So this probably, you know, Michael Cargill's a local gun store owner, firearm instructor as well.
Activist.
Oh yeah, he's a big time activist. So it's not surprising that somebody, probably some student's parent got this and said, I'm forwarding this to Cargill. He'll know what to do with it. And eventually it found its way onto Infowars.com. But here, I think here's another red flag one. What do you associate with guns?
Yeah, protection, danger, safety, law enforcement, hunting slash sports, freedom, fear, military, fun. Now, they're trying to target people who are going to be constitutionalist, things like that. They're going to like, all right, oh, you're a kid. You fired a gun. Oh, there's an other, not for hunting or shooting. Freedom, fear, military. We need to call the ATF and the FBI now.
And then which do you support?
What do you support? No limits on gun ownership. Some limits, moderate limits, strict limits, and then total prohibition of guns. And then, at the very bottom, I thought this was funny. On a scale of 1 to 10, one being strong liberal and 10 being strong conservative. You know, basically, where do you fit in? And then they want to know your parents',
what are your political views
as a child? I mean, when you were, what is this, a middle school, a high school? I mean, really, were you political at that age?
No, not really. I think I kind of went with the flow in high school. I didn't really, and I wasn't a big gun guy in high school either. So I would have probably answered danger, law enforcement, and military. That's what I would have put.
I was more of an archery guy. So, I mean, yeah. I shot a lot of bows, really only until the point where I joined the military. But I mean, if I were a parent and this was sent home with my child,
especially
me being the kind of guy that I am right now,
yeah,
and I started reading these questions, I'm telling you, I'm taking this to the range. I'm putting a nice 3-round shot group in the middle of that and having my son or daughter take that back and be like, here, I answered that for you.
Well, I noticed they don't have a spot for libertarian. It's either you're conservative or liberal. There's no other difference. And I think a lot of the, you know, this is to say, are you Republican or Democrat? That's the code words there.
Well, it's funny. There's a lot of polls going around right now saying that gun ownership has decreased based off a lot of these polls that are going around. No, it's not that they've decreased. People aren't stupid enough to actually answer this truthfully and turn it in because they know the consequences that could come around the corner with that.
Mm-hmm.
CPS coming at your door, the FBI, the ATF. That's ridiculous. This is no one's business. What I do, if I legally own a firearm and I'm a law-abiding citizen, it doesn't matter what I want to use that gun for. If I want to go hunt, shoot, pop off around, whatever I want to do. If I have that, if I want to open carry on my own property at my home, that's my business. That's not the school's concern.
And Joe, anytime I see surveys like this, it always reminds me of the 29 Palm survey that was done back in the 90s, the mid-90s actually. I want to point people to two articles here. The first one, SEAL veteran military leaders being asked if they will disarm Americans. That article talks about a little bit something different, but it does mention the 29 Palm survey. And here it is. Concerns over troops being given orders to fire on American citizens in the event of a mass gun confiscation first arose in May 1994 when hundreds of Marines at 29 Palms, California were given a survey as part of an academic project by new Navy Lieutenant Commander Ernest Guy Cunningham, who I met back in 2009, actually, which asked Marines if they would fire upon U.S. citizens who refuse or resist confiscation of firearms banned by the United States government. And it was the survey. It shocked Marines by the tone of it, so they ended up turning it in and leaked it. And then here we go. Back in 2011, Chuck Baldwin actually wrote about this as well. No wonder America's founders distrusted standing armies. And it's a little bit towards the end of it. He talks about it. One of the questions asked Marines if they'd be willing to be assigned to a national emergency police force within the United States. So you've got about 85% saying they would be willing to be assigned to that. You look at the numbers here, 6% disagree, 6.3% strongly disagree. Then you got 42% agreed, 43% strongly agreed, 2.3% had no opinion. But then here's the big question. I would fire upon U.S. citizens who refuse or resist confiscation of firearms banned by the U.S. government. The result, 42% strongly disagreed, 19% disagreed, 18% agreed, 6% strongly disagreed, and 12% had no opinion. This goes, if you add up all the ones who have no opinion or that agreed or strongly agreed, you got 49% who said they would fire on American citizens back in 1994. Now, obviously, I'm not saying the 29 Palm survey is like this, but anytime these gun surveys come out, you really learn telling information. Now, Ernest Cunningham, he was putting it out because he wanted to let people know that, hey, this is something that people should be worried about. He was a real freedom guy even back in the 90s talking about this. But here we have something that, yeah, could potentially be used to go against high school students. I mean,
the students
how can they
and their
be,
families. I mean, yeah. You got to look at the students. They're going to be treated differently if you said you fired. Now, it says here, you know, have you ever fired a gun? And if so, how did, you know, what consists of that? Like I said, if I'm a father and I have a son, if I decide that he's ready, whatever age it may be, that's my choice. If I feel like my son's intellectually smart enough to kind of like handle this, he's matured quick and can handle that, that's on me if I want to teach him how to shoot guns mm-hmm. and to learn how to fear them and properly use them in a right way. That's how you stop a lot of the gun violence that happens, by introducing these things in at a young age and properly training the children so they have that fear and respect for the weapon. So it's good if someone does that, but that's not how they're going to see it. They're going to use that to attack the student and the parent.
Or maybe check up on them a little bit more, maybe assign them to a counselor. Oh, it says here in this survey, you like guns. Now, this was a small, it was only given to about 100 students, but that's how they roll these things out. Or, they do a small journalism class who will probably write an article on this. Who knows what the tone's going to be. It'll be very interesting to see if they get some real responses back from parents or if people just ignore them
altogether. Timmy goes through a sin of depression and then they go, oh, well, he said he liked to shoot guns. We've shot him before.
We've got him in our red list.
We need to call CPS on this one now. There could be a chance of suicide or maybe something else. So
yeah, this is something they could definitely roll out school-wide. You could see other schools doing this. It'll be interesting to see. Before we get done here with the show, we got a video. Clinton claims email charges are another conspiracy theory. Chuck Todd asked her about emails between her and CIA Director General David Petraeus. And she said, during the 90s, I've had the same research to the same kind of barrage when I ran for the Senate. I overlooked all that. And then she asked him if his next question was going to be another conspiracy theory. I don't think it's a conspiracy theory that people died in Benghazi.
No, it's not. The H is silent in Benghazi.
There you go. And Clinton, he's talking about the H in the Clinton logo. And once again, she rears her ugly cackle. That's going to do it for tonight's show. If you are watching this on YouTube, hit the subscribe button and also consider becoming a member of PrisonPlanet.tv. Joe, how many trips have you been on since you've joined us? I mean, countless.
Probably 100 or so.
All that is funded by PrisonPlanet.tv memberships. Also, people who gave to the money bomb, we are using some of those funds to keep sending reporters out on location to get the news that you're not getting anywhere else. And, you know, you cross the border as ISIS to show that it could happen. A guy in an ISIS uniform with a flag. I mean, all that is done with your support at PrisonPlanet.tv. You also get access to all of Alex's documentaries, the Nightly News Live, the Nightly News Rebroadcast, the Alex Jones Show Live, plus the rebroadcast. And all our special reports are up there. I mean, just tons of information available for you to download and save. And this is something that can't be censored like YouTube or Facebook. We've seen that happen in the past. PrisonPlanet.tv is your source for all the greatest information that comes out of the Infowars.com Central Texas Command Center and parts beyond. I mean, we just sent the guys on a major Pope run. So
next week we'll be in Florida doing guns, shooting guns.
That's right. So. Join us back here once again, 7 p.m. Central, for the Infowars Nightly News. Thanks for watching.
Knockout is back. If you want a product that has 10 known ingredients that naturally get your body to relax, your brain to relax, so you get deep, restful sleep, Knockout's it. InfoWarsLife.com. L-theanine, hops flower extract, lemon balm extract, valerian root extract, chamomile flower extract, L-tryptophan extract, melatonin, and more.
all organic, all the natural sources. It's the same price as leading brands of melatonin that are 3 milligrams a piece. It has 3 milligram, the standard recommended dose for an adult. It's got the GABA. So it would probably cost $50 to take all this as separate pills. It's $19.95. You take one or two of these, and it just is really clean, restful sleep is what the reviews are. It's what I've experienced. And it just synergistically puts everything in there. InfoWarsLife.com. That's InfoWarsLife.com. Or call 888-253-3139.
You are watching the InfoWars Nightly News, which airs 7 p.m. Central at InfoWarsNews.com. And your support is helping us defend liberty worldwide.